Mine is the first visit of a Canadian Prime Minister to China in nearly a decade. The world has changed much since that last. And I believe the progress that we have made in the partnership sets us up well for the new world order.
The government's coughing up billions in settlements, papering over the festering wounds of dispossession in order to slice Canada up into fragmented provinces under a new world order.
Another possible outcome of all of this land grab activity going on in Canada right now is that if this continues, what's going to happen is Canada's going to break apart in a very short period of time. We're talking a few short years, maybe. And Saskatchewan and Alberta are going to separate. And that will immediately be horrific for our already brutalized economy.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
We're talking about the physical jihad, the physical struggling against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Threats of other occurrences, such as the rise in the far right.
There will come a day that we will see far more radical extremists and terrorists coming out of Europe because of lack of decision-making, trying to be politically correct. I'm sorry, but that's pure ignorance.
Director General of Asia has warned about a range of threats, be it anti-Semitism, the rise of right-wing extremist groups as well.
Just like Israel, Australia does not have a right to exist!
The government is prepared to take whatever action is necessary. Included in that is the need for tougher gun laws.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
Never before has a new world order had to be assembled from so many different perceptions or on so global a scale.
This is the end of civilization as we know it and a predatory AI globalist robot economy takeover. This is the equivalent of Pearl Harbor when the Japanese struck. This is the first official launch of the end of the rest of our lives. Now, remember, I'm the one that laid this out absolutely specifically, that Bill Gates is the front man for the large robber baron fortunes headed up by IBM that his mother captained. His father ran the World Eugenics Society after it was made illegal in Europe and it went underground. They run the whole thing. And they believe they are exterminating you to save the earth. And I'll just say something. I'm not going to join Bill Gates because it forfeits your soul. But if you go along with this and if you don't spread the word and if you don't stand up for your children and others, you are deserving of what happens to you. Because if you're going to let these people kill you and your family, then you deserve what happens to you.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJN Live. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to alexjonesapp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, this is The War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. Second hour is on for this Tuesday evening broadcast. Hope everybody's doing well. Well, folks, the global government is meeting as we speak on a secluded mountaintop in Switzerland to decide the fate of the world without our input. And again, that really does need to be the intro to the World Economic Forum and Davos as a whole, is the understanding that this is, and was always meant to be, a true global government. Not one that you get to vote on, not one that's democratic by any means, but it's the managing structure that was designed from the outset to be able to morph into a fully fledged and acknowledged global government. Right now, it's just the global government sort of de facto. It's sort of the de facto global government. Because you understand what's happening right now is that the world leaders, you know, heads of state, heads of corporations that are bigger than states, like BlackRock, are getting together in Congress. You know, Congress just means a gathering to plot out the next year, to decide on programs and agendas that they will all then be dispersed to their various nations to then carry out. It is a government for all intents and purposes. It's actually more like the original American government. Remember, it was never really intended that we would have like professional politicians. What it's supposed to be is that the leaders of industry and finance and, you know, the most powerful and important people in your community then go to represent your community for a period of time and then they go home again. That's why Congress is in recess for half the year, because originally you're supposed to not do it full time. So it's supposed to be, okay, we all go to D.C., we have a couple weeks of meetings, we decide some stuff, and then we all go back home. That's what the World Economic Forum is. It is a global government. It's unelected, but it's a government. And they put Larry Fink at the head of it because he's in charge of BlackRock, which is sort of the underlying financial shadow government of America. And so we got lots of videos from the World Economic Forum that I'd like to lay out for you. And I'm really glad that I spent an hour yesterday going over the lockstep document and explaining how the world elite see this transformation. See the way that populism is rising around the globe. They see it as an existential threat, as they should, and they're fortressing themselves. The world elite, the world controllers, the powers that be are going into fortress mode as they attempt to weather the populist storm that rages around them. So I don't even know where to start. We got so much out of the World Economic Forum. Trump also giving a speech today with a lot of great points in it, his 1 year anniversary of being inaugurated. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about. But we'll stick with Ursula, I guess. Our good friend Ursula von der Leyen, who, by the way, is like just the noble of the noble, the nobility of the nobility. And that's, again, another thing to realize about the World Economic Forum. It's really not, you know, strictly the best and the brightest. It's not like all these people are geniuses. A lot of them are just, you know, the sort of remaining husks of once great noble families that still retain the name and influence in their countries to get appointed to positions that they don't deserve. Let's go to clip number 12 here. Ursula at the WEF says, this was the year the dollar or she talks about the year the dollar was delinked from gold. This is actually a very important clip, again, in considering what the global government has in store for us in the future. Digital money seems to be very much on the top of their minds. Let's watch.
And the decision to delink the U.S. dollar from gold. In an instant, the foundations of the Bretton Woods system and the entire global economic order set up after the war effectively collapsed. But it also had two major effects. It inadvertently created the conditions for what would become a truly global order. And it provided a sharp lesson for Europe and on the need to strengthen its economic and political power. It was a warning to reduce our dependencies, in this case, on a foreign currency. The world may be very different today, without any question, but I believe the lesson is very much the same. That geopolitical shocks can and must serve as an opportunity for Europe. And in my view, the seismic change we are going through today is an opportunity, in fact, a necessity to build a new form of Europe.
So do you get what she's saying there? I mean, she's previewing, she's letting everybody know, like, this is what we mean when we say the Great Reset, or, you know, looking into the future, like what the plans are. Like, they understand that the global system itself is a monetary system, is a banking system, and it's that system that has to be replaced if they want the order replaced. They're talking about digital currency. They're talking about introducing some sort of global digital currency that can be tracked and controlled and is totally divorced from anything real at all. Like, do you think these people were mad that the dollar got off of gold? They're not mad. No. They that's fine with them. They're saying this is what marks major global transformations, our currency, like what currency is based on. So that's what they're introducing to everybody. That's what they're preparing everybody for. This is the Sheikh Al Thani, governor of Qatar's central bank, also talking about the rollout of digital currencies at Davos today. Let's watch.
Technologies are transforming, fundamentally transforming the financial sector. A recent report showed that more than 100 countries, more than 100 central banks don't have a fast payment system. And fast payment system is very important for any economy, to make the economy efficient, for example. That will also help to reach the goal of cashless-based economy. And this is type of digital product.
A digital product. Yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it? It's kind of weird how the World Economic Forum and the Davos meeting used to be so into climate change. Remember how they would talk about nothing but climate change for a long time, and now this year it's like not even a concern? The only reason they're even bringing it up is because they're going to justify billions of more immigrants into Western countries off the basis of climate disasters, climate change-based migration. But they don't really care about climate change anymore. Like, it's just so obvious. It's just so obvious that you're paying attention. They just want control, and they do not care about anything else. They were pitching climate change because that was an easy excuse to control people. But then they developed AI, and they figured that's a better way to control people, but we need lots of energy to produce it, so climate change is getting in the way of that. Climate change goes out the window, and now they're super dedicated and very, you know, excited about the possibilities of AI saving the world. You would just think that, you know, a global elite conference like this would have like consistent things they're going for year over year. You wouldn't expect it to change 180 degrees in a single year, but that's essentially what's happened here. Let's go back to Ursula And again, we just played that clip. So let's go to Yuval Noah Harari. So again, this is the sort of spiritual goblin of the World Economic Forum. He's still around, even though Klaus Schwab has left. Let's go to the goblin, Yuval Noah Harari, clip 21 here.
Do you know, as far as putting words in order is concerned, AI already thinks better than many of us. Therefore, anything made of words will be taken over by AI. If laws are made of words, then AI will take over the legal system. If books are just combinations of words, then AI will take over books. If religion is built from words, then AI will take over religion. This is particularly true of religions based on books, like Islam, Christianity, or Judaism. Judaism calls itself the religion of the book, and it grants ultimate authority not to humans, but to words in books. Humans have authority in Judaism not because of our experiences, but only because we learn words in books. Now, no human can read and remember all the words in all the Jewish books, but AI can easily do that. What happens to a religion of the book when the greatest expert on the holy book is an AI?
What the hell is he talking about? What the hell is he talking about? I mean, obviously, he's trying to lay the groundwork, the justification, the initial arguments for an AI god. I think that's pretty obvious. What the hell is he talking about? Things that consist of words are going to be taken over by AI. And so religions are made of words. It's kind of a weird synthesis of like this weird techno babble religion these guys adhere to while still trying to like form it into the mold of Judaism. It's very strange. It's like you would think somebody who's Jewish would be like, you know, the Jews are special because God appeared to like revealed himself to them. It's not because of the book. It's not because of the words in the book. And of course, in Christianity, we believe Jesus is literally the word, right? The logos. It's just, I mean, anybody else feel like we just watched a little mini presentation by Satan? Anybody else feel like that was Satan trying to convince us to eat an apple or something like that? It's just, the whole thing is like this weird pseudo-intellectual occultist play acting they're doing. And they're all a bunch of little weirdos, but obviously putting words in the right order because some algorithmic calculation has determined that's correct does not actually mean you're a thinking being and doesn't actually mean that you have insight into the spiritual depth of the word of God. But I think to Yuval Noah Harari, the machines are just clever enough that we should treat them like that. If you're clever enough, it's you might as well treat it like spiritual significance. These absolute weirdos. Should we stick with Yuval Noah Harari? Because this dude is just, I mean, he's saying all this ridiculous stuff. But the number one, the overarching theme of the World Economic Forum is a world order in retreat and a defeated army of billionaires trying to reform their ranks before they're scattered completely and run down by the pursuing enemy. And they keep saying it over and over, and you've got sort of two different, you know, wings of the bird here. You've got the people like Macron or Carney who are saying the New World Order is being destroyed and that's horrible and we need to find a way to replace it. And you know, people like Howard Lutnick who's saying, yeah, your New World Order is destroyed and we destroyed it, you suckers. Let's go to clip number 73 here. This is Mark Carney, I believe. No, this is Macron speaking from Davos. Let's watch.
This is as well a shift toward a world without effective collective governance and where multilateralism is weakened by powers that obstruct it or turn away from it and rules are undermined.
Isn't that crazy? Let's pause.
And I can multiply the...
Did I not tell you yesterday verbatim exactly what he just said? I need to run out and grab the packet again. I need the strategic development of technology in the future. I need the lockstep document. Didn't I tell you this was all pre-planned? All of this is following a script that was written at least 15 years ago. The world order is under threat. I guess we all have to isolate ourselves and fortress ourselves because the multilateral agreements aren't as strong as they once were. Just if you were watching yesterday, you must have felt like you were watching deja vu if you saw some of these clips this morning. Let's go back to Emmanuel Macron again, following verbatim, word for word, the instructions handed out by the Rockefeller Foundation in 2010 about Plan C, the retreat and fortress yourselves strategy of the globalists to weather the populist storm currently engulfing the world. Let's continue with Emmanuel Macron.
And rules are undermined. And I can multiply the examples of international bodies weakened or left by the key economies. We are killing the structure where we can fix the situation and the common challenges we have. Without collective governance, cooperation gives way to relentless competition. Competition from the United States of America through trade agreements that undermine our export interests, demand maximum concessions, and openly aim to weaken and subordinate Europe, combined with an endless accumulation of new tariffs that are fundamentally unacceptable, even more so when they are used as leverage against territorial sovereignty.
So yeah, this has to do with Greenland, I guess, or Venezuela. The whole thing is just, like, what are we even watching? What even is this? If I wanted to destroy Europe, you know what I would do? I'd open its borders. I'd have an extremely powerful, strong, and dysfunctional welfare system. I mean, everything these people have done to Europe is why it's being destroyed at this moment. And, like, actually destroyed. Like, literally, physically destroyed. There's the crown, the French crown that was stolen from the Louvre has now been found, and pictures of it have been released. And the thing is crushed. It's like, you know, looks like it's made of paper and somebody just balled it up. It's been destroyed. Like Notre Dame. Like that church in Amsterdam from New Year's Eve. Like every single European city that you can get a video of, you don't see a single European there. So what the hell are they talking about? Trump's trying to destroy Europe. He's like, they want competition. Yeah, competition's good. Competition's healthy. It's a lack of competition. That means that Europe is currently wallowing in its abject failure to maintain its prosperity, let alone grow it. And that's not an easy thing to do. You just let people alone, they're going to build things. They're going to create things. They're going to have babies. They're going to get together and, you know, make movies and music and film. Like, people are just going to do it. You have to actually intervene to stop that happening. Like, Europe was literally the only, like, civilized area in the entire world 100 years ago. And the last 100 years, we've gone from everything to nothing. Like, I always think about it like one of these games, like Civilization or Rome Total War, you know, Risk, but computer games. And like, if you were to go back 100 years, 110 years, right? Early 1900s, 1910s. It's like, you know, if you ever play these games, there's different sort of paths that you can research or like investigate. And so, you know, maybe if you're a warlike people, you'll put a bunch of points into, you know, battle strategy and manufacturing of weapons. And so, you know, you'll have one state that has, you know, 10 ranks on military, but they don't really do agriculture or, you know, science or whatever else. Well, if you go back to like 1910, Europe is all their, you know, power bars are all the way full on technology, all the way full on religion, all the way full on science, all the, like the, everything. Like we just, as if we've been playing the game for 100 years and everybody else just signed on the server and they're all starting basically at zero or one or two. And it's no offense, but like early 1900s, there were still places in Africa that were uncontacted, still big swaths of the Amazon that had never been photographed or explored or anything. In China, their whole entire society was pretty much exactly the same as it was in the 1600s. You know, Japan had made some deliberate attempt to modernize, but they were still playing catch up very much by the, you know, early 1910s. It was Europe dominating completely. So if you ever play a game like that, like imagine what it would take to lose that game. Imagine you start off with all the gold and all the science and all the academics and all the, you know, religious institutions, all the societal developments that, you know, most people have to grind hours and hours to build up. You start with that and yet you lose. How do you lose that? You lose that by sabotage. You lose that from forces on the inside, not the outside. And so for Emmanuel Macron to talk about American competition wanting to take over Greenland or wanting to kickstart the European economy so that they aren't just endlessly dependent on all our welfare, telling them to invest their own money into NATO. These are the things that will actually save Europe. These are the things that will actually build Europe up. You need competition. You have been degrading continuously for a century and a half at this point. And it's only accelerated over the last two decades, where absolutely everything the European leadership has done has seemed perfectly designed to bring about their absolute and irreversible destruction. That's what I'm saying. Why it's so, like, it's just like, what am I even watching right now? How is it that these people who spend all of their time and all of their efforts into deliberately destroying Europe, and you can't argue that it's anything but, I mean, is there anything about Europe that has improved in the last 30 years? Anything? Literally anything. Transportation, building, nothing's improved. It's all gotten worse. All of it has gotten worse to the point now that it's actually not even Europe. So for Emmanuel Macron, I mean, this is weird. I mean, it's really bizarro world twilight zone up there on a mountain in Switzerland. But they're all getting it. They're all understanding that their house of cards built out of a bunch of ridiculous lies can only be maintained with a silent, submissive, and basically crushed populace. And when people can speak freely, when they can educate themselves and each other about what's actually going on, the world order that they've built entirely out of deception comes crumbling down. And it's basically like they are trying to ignore that fact. They're pretending to acknowledge it, just like we showed yesterday and we'll show again today. They acknowledge, like, well, there's this lack of trust, but they refuse to, for a single moment, take responsibility for that lack of trust. They are not changing their behavior. They have not suddenly learned to embrace nationalism, like Emmanuel Macron apparently is trying to make people think that he has. They've understood that this is a necessary strategic pivot in order to continue their incredibly destructive and, for the case of Europe, suicidal agenda. We'll turn to the other side. We'll show you a lot more videos from what they're saying at the World Economic Forum. And it's very instructive. You'll see.
I want to thank the viewers and listeners for your endless and tireless support over the years. We try to make it easy to be supporters with fabulous products that really enrich and empower your life. A wide selection of Patriot apparel, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. All sorts of really cool knives, collectibles, and the most important, the best supplements you're going to find anywhere. Whatever the highest rated is, whatever has the best studies, whatever has the five-star reviews. I mean, if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, if you don't get our bovine colostrum, that's the very best. If you don't get our Shilajit or our sea moss, you're crazy. If you don't get our turmeric, that's the strongest out there. Anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory, so good for you. You're crazy. Big sales going on the site, 40% off on things like the World War II modern version trench knife, limited edition InfoWars black on white trucker hat, free with every order. And they had this thing going since Thursday. I didn't notice it until Sunday, so I had them extended one day today. But that's it. Every order gets one of these, limited edition, in there. So get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com. But with the deals we got, we need to sell a lot of stuff to fund this operation. So do yourself a favor, Mr. Sit on the Fency. I'm not mad at you. I'm telling you. Get the methylene blue. We have the best. It is so good for you. It is so game-changing. So good for your mind. So good for all your cells. So good for your telomeres. Just get a bottle of ultramethylene blue. Support the broadcast. Finally, because we got even more documents in and more depositions and things, we are about to file our huge, massive civil rights suit with conspiracy against rights, all the proof, the DOJ, the CIA, the Democratic Party, you know, the law firms. I mean, this is a... And by the way, under the rules, we had to show them the suit a few weeks ago. And they went completely ape and threatened us and everything else with, you know, all the stuff they're going to do. Great. Because we got all the evidence up one side and down the other. But I'm taking on the big boys. So know this. The majority of the funding you send us buying products goes to the fight against the tyrants. And we are fully committed to that. They want this show off the air because I know what I'm talking about. That's why I get mad at the shows that are, you know, innuendo and conspiracy theories. I've never been a conspiracy theorist, folks. That's what the media calls me. That's a CIA term. I am an analyst. I'm a futurist. And I know what I'm talking about. And my guests know what they're talking about. You know my rule. Who do I have on all the time? People that are consistently right. I associate with people that got their acts together. And I can tell you, we know what we're doing. This broadcast belongs to you. You built this. It's fighting for your future, my future, all of us collectively. But we can't do it without you. Make the commitment in this ocean of media and information. The bad guys particularly hate this show because we know what we're doing. We're steering people right, but we can't take these people on without you. I need your support. Word of mouth, prayer, and financial support, and I make it damn easy. This is a win-win. All you got to do is go to thealexjonesstore.com.
Now look here, even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements.
Sometimes we have BOGO Sups.
We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I think we have to analyze issues, not just with our brains, but also with our heart. And with an understanding that ultimately we have to serve not ourselves, but society.
Come, liebe Schuster, you tried your best. Yes, you failed to reunite them, but look at it this way. You saved his boys, and that's what counts. Compromise, my friend, is the essence of diplomacy. And diplomacy is the cornerstone of love. Sweet love.
All right, welcome back, folks. It's very funny to see Klaus Schwab try to change his tune and be a hippie. Nobody's falling for this. Nobody's falling for it. But they are changing their tack in ways that I never expected. I never would have thought that they'd admit the things that they're admitting. And it's obvious what they're admitting. They don't need to admit it for me to know it, but they're basically admitting that the fundamental, foundational underpinnings of their entire world order are totally fraudulent. It's crazy. I'll show you the video here. Let's go to clip number 58. This is Mark Carney, former governor of the Bank of England, who helped spearhead a lot of the COVID-19 lockdowns, current prime minister of Canada, who just yesterday or the day before, we had the video of him talking about teaming up with China to help establish the new world order, as he puts it. And here he is at Davos admitting that the entire concept of an international rules-based order was always a lie. Let's watch.
We knew the story of the international rules-based order was partially false. That the strongest would exempt themselves when convenient. That trade rules were enforced asymmetrically. And we knew that international law applied with varying rigor depending on the identity of the accused or the victim. This fiction was useful. And American hegemony in particular helped provide public goods, open sea lanes, a stable financial system, collective security, and support for frameworks for resolving disputes. So we placed the sign in the window. We participated in the rituals. And we largely avoided calling out the gaps between rhetoric and reality. This bargain no longer works. Let me be direct. We are in the midst of a rupture, not a transition. Over the past two decades, a series of crises in finance, health, energy, and geopolitics have laid bare the risks of extreme global integration. But more recently, great powers have begun using economic integration as weapons. Tariffs as leverage, financial infrastructure as coercion, supply chains as vulnerabilities to be exploited. You cannot live within the lie of mutual benefit through integration when integration becomes the source of your subordination.
I am like 99% sure that speech was written by AI. Have y'all started to notice the little tells? I feel like I can't watch a video now without hearing the, it's not this, it's this. It's like the only thing the AI, I mean, I got videos you all know of Harari celebrating the creativity of AI, however his gay little voice sounds. It's not very creative. It kind of does the same thing over and over. And I just heard it there in Mark Carney's speech. But do you understand what he's saying? He's saying it was a pleasant fiction, this rules-based international order. It never existed. It was a little lie that we were all happy to go along with until it no longer served us. Why is it no longer serving us? Because America is no longer choosing to voluntarily subject ourselves to the whims of hostile foreigners. That's what's happening. What he's saying is that, you know, we never had the ability to force the United States to adhere to our demands, to our, you know, play acting, the presumption of them to dictate to the world, you know, what is allowed and what isn't. And America just went along with that for a long time. And now he's saying America's not going along with that anymore. The illusion of international law that America's participation helped to uphold is no longer valid because it's obvious to anybody these international so-called rules-based orders are applied with incredible arbitrariness. It doesn't matter. These things aren't real. The international rules-based order, the laws of international cooperation only apply to the enemies of the New World Order. It was always just the New World Order forcing everybody to play by their rules. That's all. And the New World Order doesn't force itself to play by its own rules. I mean, the most obvious example would be something like Israel, who at this moment is bulldozing the UNRWA, United Nations, food supply charity for the Gazans. They're bulldozing it, and Smotrich is out there on the ground actively helping to destroy it and saying, we're going to kill everybody here. Of course, the ICC has charged and convicted Benjamin Netanyahu and several other Israeli leaders of committing genocide. And like that might be, like that kind of was in a lot of ways the death blow to the international order, is the understanding that at a time when the international rules-based order had a role to play, had an obligation to step in, they have been utterly incapable of even moderating the behavior of Israel, let alone stopping or punishing it. Remember, I said this when we got the Gaza ceasefire in the summer, going, a lot of people aren't happy with this. And part of the reason people aren't satisfied with the conclusion of the war, even though, you know, a lot of people are happy that Gazans aren't being murdered at a rate that they were the 2 years prior, because it felt like an inadequacy. It felt like we've been through this before, and every other time, countries that behaved this way were subjected to the Nuremberg trials. But this time, they're allowed just to sort of say they're stopping, and then they don't even stop. But like, okay, so the whole rules-based order has been shown to be a giant fraud, right? Because if the rules-based order existed for any reason, this would be the reason to literally stop genocide. They can't, they won't, incapable or unwilling, it kind of doesn't matter. The point is, the international rules-based order doesn't exist. Now, if you're Russia, it exists in a very real way, because the moment that you violate a single letter of the law, the so-called international order will come down on you like a ton of bricks. As we've explained over and over and over, they like pitching globalism as the end to war. The whole argument of the League of Nations and then the United Nations and then globalism as a concept, even the trade agreements and the interconnectivity of economies. I mean, it was all predicated on the idea that, well, you aren't going to go to war with somebody that you need. You aren't going to go to war with somebody that supplies your medicine or whatever else. So by interconnecting the world and by establishing international bodies that can presume to have authority over countries, then you can avoid war forever. And in a way, that's true, because you need nation states to go to war, and a nation state going to war with a nation state for a particular period of time until one wins and the other loses and then there's a settlement, that form of war is going away. What we have now, what exists at this point, I'm not predicting, I mean, what is happening at this moment is that you have a New World Order system that is simply at war with everybody outside of the system. And that's the real construct of globalism. And it's the construct that exists in Brave New World in 1984 specifically, because they had this, you know, continual warfare, whether it was East Asia or, you know, whatever else, it didn't matter. The point was, they were always at war. Well, we're always at war, and we're always going to be at war against any faction that is not folded completely into the globalist system. Like, I don't think we're going to go to war with China anytime soon, because they're fully in the system, fully controlled, no problems there. But like, look at the Middle East. I mean, Syria has been in a state of war and continues to be in a state of war like they have been for the last 15, 20 years. The war between Israel and Palestine, I mean, it has fits and starts and big conflagrations, and then it simmers for a while, but been going on for 50 years and more, 75 years at this point. Slow burn sort of war. That's the actual desired construct of the global order, is all of these countries are in blocks with each other, are you know, controlled and managed by this international group, and any country that doesn't want to go along with it is considered a rogue nation and is slated for total destruction through sanctions and military activity. Any small group of people that want to break away will be considered traitors and domestic terrorists and whatever else, and will be destroyed piecemeal that way. That is the New World Order that they're aiming towards, that they're trying to create, and that they're trying to build. And they're admitting now that because America is going its own way and not adhering to the demands of the international bodies that are incapable of enforcing their dictates, since we're not willingly and voluntarily subjecting ourselves to the demands of people who hate us, they're freaking out. Because America was supposed to be the engine that built all of this stuff and then was destroyed, but we have broken free. We have rebelled at the last moment and are refusing to go along with it. And that's put them all on the back foot, but they aren't giving up, and they're only really doubling down on their intentions while disguising them. Let's go to clip 30 here. At Davos, WEF co-chair and BlackRock CEO Larry Fink openly acknowledges that the global elite have lost public trust. More than that, let's watch.
We believe that outside the United Nations, this is the largest gathering of global leadership of the post-COVID period of time. For many people, this meeting feels out of step with the moment. We hear all about the elites. And how does that play out in an age of populism? How does an established institution make a difference in an era of deep institutional mistrust? And there's some truth to the critique. I believe in this forum for a long time. I certainly wouldn't be leading this if I didn't believe that we can change and make the world better. But it's also obvious that the world now places far less trust in us to help shape what comes next. If the World Economic Forum is going to be useful going forward, it has to regain that trust.
And, you know, I mean, you know what he means by regain the trust, right? Silence the people that don't trust us. They're not trying to do anything to regain trust. And it's so funny when they're like, yeah, there's some truth to the criticisms. And it's like, what, the criticisms that you're a psychopathic cabal of anti-human demons that are, you know, systematically buying up the world so you can eradicate competition? You're saying there's some truth to that? What part of that is true? Because all of it is terrible. Like, what do you mean there's some truth to that? There's some, you know, good reasons why we don't trust you. So you're kind of admitting to manufacturing the crises that you then take advantage of to enslave us? I mean, that's the criticism. That's why we don't trust you, because you take the most important and impactful and like world-changing events and you lie about them to us brazenly, and then you silence people who are telling you the truth. So are you going to stop doing that? I mean, the World Economic Forum was on the forefront of the COVID lockdowns, helping to organize and strategize about that. You deliberately stoked fear of a virus to force people to like die alone in their hospital rooms, hugging their families through plastic sheets. And you're like, yeah, you know, there's some truth to that. Yeah, there's some truth to the fact that all of that was completely manufactured and we caused just inconceivable mental human suffering and physical death across the world, totally based on nothing and because we hate you. And yeah, there's some truth to that. Like, yeah, we know. No, we know. Now, if they wanted to be trusted, they would do things that were trustworthy. They don't care about being trusted as long as they have the power to do something about it. And again, it just put this in context with what Mark Carney was just saying. Like that statement from Mark Carney, I'm blown away that he would ever make that statement. It is such an admission of everything that they're lying about and trying to deceive us about. And admitting basically that like while they had us in their thrall, they didn't do enough. They didn't get us quite locked down enough. And we broke out. It really is amazing. Because basically what Larry Fink is saying is like, yeah, when we, you know, before the rise of populism, people figured out what we were doing. You know, the whole international rules-based order, like, the topic of our trust was immaterial because we just had the ability to impose things on people whether they believed us or not. Now they don't have that ability. Just like they used to have a lot of, you know, faith in the international rules-based order, but then countries just figured out we don't have to listen to them and there's nothing that will be done about it. And so now they can't play that charade anymore. They can't, wield that assumed and fabricated power. Like they're admitting not just that they lost, but that their victory was always hollow and was always an illusion and we could have broken out at any time. It is really something to behold. Have Mark Carney go, yeah, the international rules-based order was always kind of a lie. And America figured that out, and now we, Canada and Europe, are being forced to acknowledge that we are not on the same level as America, that our concerns are not as important as American concerns, that we can't, you know, shove America around when America just says no. They have no leverage. They have no ability to make us do anything. Their entire power structure was built on an illusion, and Donald Trump has shattered that illusion. I'm very excited to hear what he says to Davos, honestly. Again, I mean, the whole thing is totally absurd. Let's go to clip 22 here. This is Alex Karp from Palantir. We all know him. Here's him talking about like the way he views the world and his political perspective. Man, this whole thing is just weird. It's just bizarre. I mean, maybe this type of stuff makes sense in the context of a bunch of out-of-touch trillionaires on a mountaintop in Switzerland plotting and planning and scheming. But to the rest of us, this is all kind of sounds like nonsense. Let's watch.
I still view myself as a card-carrying progressive, and
not I really.
Think it's the single most important thing a progressive could do is go around and say, yeah, but the revolution that's coming is going to expose the actual market value of what you're doing, whether we want it or not. Like, it's like, I don't even want to know the market value of some of this stuff. But it is over a relative rapid period of time. So next 3 years, you're just going to get market value, honesty in all sorts of character and communities and micro communities. And the best thing you can do if you are in a community, whether that is a large community like Germany or a large community larger like America, is, and you really care for the people you're representing, is to say, yeah, but let's, we have to kind of look closely at what load we can bear.
Thank you.
Yeah, what? You still a card-carrying progressive? Sorry, I'm just trying to figure out what you know, these world controllers are even saying half the time. What are they even saying? So he's a card-carrying progressive. Of course, progressivism is all about the fundamental transformation of societies away from their traditional construct towards a globalized structure based on equality. And this guy is the guy who is, he's the big American patriot. He's the big European patriot. Progressivism is the word that describes anti-European activity. What is this weirdo talking about? Let's go to 27, another clip from Larry Fink, from Alex Karp talking to Larry Fink. These two deeply unimpressive individuals. Let's watch.
What I think, so I think America and China are kind of very successful. And I spent most of my adult life in Europe and I'm very pro-European. But I think any honest assessment is that's not gone very well.
Yeah, it's not gone very well. Why is that? He's very pro-European. But of course, he also brags about Gotham, the Palantir program, single-handedly stopping the rise of the far right in Europe. And of course, the far right in Europe is just that portion of the population that doesn't want to be suicidally replaced by a bunch of foreigners. The far right in Europe are the just native Europeans wanting to continue to exist. So, yeah, no, things have not gone well for Europe. You are a very large part of the reason that is. And everybody else at the World Economic Forum, who, of course, were the engineers behind the immigration system, who are the people who created the monetary system that requires infinite growth. And then they're the people that poison the water and the food and the minds of the Europeans so that they aren't having children, so that the birth rate drops, so that the pension system that was set up as a Ponzi scheme necessitating infinite growth required more bodies to be brought in. But they're also the people that set up the welfare system that allows the people that were brought in to not get jobs, live off the state, and make the problem they were supposed to solve infinitely worse. So what are we talking about here exactly, Alex Karp? What have you done for the European people ever other than silence, censor, possibly kill them? Palantir CEO suggests AI bolsters civil liberties, warns Europe falling behind at U.S. and China, says AI trends really do make it hard to imagine why we should have large-scale immigration. We never should have had large-scale immigration. Now that AI is here, I guess it's another reason why we don't need it, but we never needed it. It was always an attack against us, obviously. I think what I'm going to do, because I got a lot more clips from Davos, but like these people really are like unimpressive. They really are. You listen to them talk and you're like, maybe dumb people think what you just said was smart because you used some big words, but I'm a pretty smart guy. I can tell exactly what you're saying. I know the meaning of all the words that you're saying and I can put them together. I get it. And you're not making any sense. You're just gibbering. Just a bunch of gibberish coming out. So I think what I'm going to do is a little compare and contrast. We've watched a couple of clips of the most slimy, dishonest, unimpressive scumbags the world has ever seen try to seem like they know what's going on or have a political view that's in any way sincere. And now that we've shown you the utterly unimpressive and insincere scumbags that are ruling over us, I am just going to play Nick Fuentes for the first 5 minutes of the next hour. We got a 5 minute break at the top of the hour, 5 minute segment at the top of the hour. I think I'm going to let Nick Fuentes and his appearance from Tim Pool's podcast play for 5 minutes, because that really is the thing that's like the big takeaway I always get at Davos. Is you watch these people and you just go, how did these people get anywhere? It's got to be corruption. It's got to be a cabal. It's got to be fraud being committed, because in any real system of meritocracy or even popularity, these people would never make it out of the bottom ranks. It's all fraud. It's all scams. It's all nepotism and who you know and manipulation and the banks putting people who will serve them, not who's best. Whatever it is they're being assigned to do. So we'll show Nick Fuentes on the other side, because I think we'd be in a different world if we had like intelligent, thoughtful, sincere people actually running these things rather than this cabal of frauds, miserable perverts. By the way, can we just appreciate that these people are on their back foot? Can we appreciate the fact that we went from 10 years ago, these people just going, here's what we're going to do. Climate change, we're going to starve them all to death. We're going to lock them all in their houses when we release a virus, and these dumbass cattle aren't going to know what hit them. But enough people tuned into InfoWars. Enough people watched the reports and saw the truth for their own eyes and started listening and paying attention to who these people are and what they were doing. Then now they're on the back foot. Now they're trying to justify their existence and trying to scramble to create, you know, little agreements between countries to replace the international world order that has crumbled at our feet. So congratulations, InfoWarriors. This is your victory as much as ours.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history, understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing. And you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.